coming up on The Source. San Antonio's public television station, KLRN, celebrates a major milestone.
I think nobody does what public broadcasting does.
50 years of PBS broadcasting in the Alamo City. We hear from KLRN's president and CEO, Bill Mull.
It's a safe haven for children. Children don't get sold stuff, don't get talked down to. They watch it and are entertained, and they learn something.
And we hear how KLRN would deal if the CPB federal funds are cut off.
So you could take it away, and it will have no difference in balancing the federal budget, but it will have a profound difference in what it means to the kind of service the American people deserve, are receiving now, and are entitled to from this independent television facility.
That's coming up on The Source, but first, the news. This is The Source, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. It was 50 years ago this week that San Antonio was turned on to public broadcasting. KLRN signed on, and KLRN has been bringing education programming to the city ever since. Bill Mull, who today is KLRN's president and CEO, was the first person to speak on that carrier wave half a century ago. He joins me now in the TPR studio to talk about the past and future of KLRN.
50 years ago, on September the 10th, 1962, KLRN signed on as the 50th educational television station in the country. In those days, we called it ETV. We didn't become public television until the late 60s. So we were 50 years ago, fulfilling an educational mandate that would serve Austin and San Antonio. We built the transmitter halfway between the two cities and broadcast on Channel 9. A lot of people would remember that in 1962, UHF was not established. We had separate UHF television receivers and antennas.
People don't even know what UHF is anymore.
Well, it's true, but it's every channel above 13. And in those days, nobody wanted to operate on UHF because you had to have a separate set, separate receiver. And so in order to get Channel 9 on the air on the VHF channel, we married the two cities together, built the transmitter halfway, and covered us both, Austin and San Antonio, with one signal. It was a kind of an uneasy alliance, but it was, if you think about it, Austin had only one other television station at the time, Channel 7, and it was owned by Lady Bird Johnson and President Johnson, or Lyndon Johnson's to become president later. So for KLRN to come on the air in Austin in those days as the second only was really significant. We were the fourth, or fifth, if you will, in San Antonio. At Channel 4, 5, 12, and 41 was on, but we were Channel 9, so it was a big deal in both, and it was the first time we had a new service called Educational TV.
And you were the first voice on KLRN when it signed on in 1962.
That evening around 6 o'clock, or at 6 o'clock, I spoke the first words on the air. Do you want to know what they were? Okay, I'm going to give you the joke first. The joke is, Dr. Watson, what hath God wrought? But that really what it was. I think that's a mixed kind of experience between telephone and telegraph. But what we wrought at the time was, good evening, KLRN is on the air. No more complicated than that.
And was there any inkling that 50 years later, KLRN would still be on the air? Was it, y'all think this was something for the ages?
It was something for the ages. And I think the extraordinary thing is that I came back 3 years ago in a wonderful piece of, or bit of, symmetry, having been there at the founding, part of the little team that helped to put it on the air, create it. Now, grant you, I spoke the first words, but I had a minor role. There were other really important personages who put it on. And I'll tell you about them in a second. But, you know, to go away for 40 years and then have the chance to come back in 2009 as the president and CEO of KLRN was just a wonderful gift for me, to have been there at the beginning of a career and now to come back toward the end of a career.
What kind of programming did KLRN have when y'all signed on?
Do you know, there was a time when KLRN produced more local content than any other television station in the country. So everything we did was largely Much of what we did was original content. We did educational programs. In those days, the early days, I did a teen show. I was the host of a teen show. I did a local newscast called Sundown Edition with Dr. John Ryder. The two of us co-anchored it at 6:15, a 15-minute newscast in those days, and with no crew to go shoot video. We just ripped and read. So we did that. We did a lot of instructional programs. I produced a fourth-grade science program. I produced a fifth-grade arts program, an eighth, a junior high science program. Ed Guida, who is still around San Antonio, was a teacher in middle school, and he was our on-the-air science teacher. Didn't know much about TV, so we were inventing it. We just taught a class on television. We produced a series under a major grant called Project History. That was a high school history series. And rest his soul, my dear friend Frank Duane Rosengren. Listeners here will remember Rosengren's bookstore, which his parents, mother and father, had founded many years ago as the iconic bookstore in San Antonio and in Texas. Frank was a gifted writer, and I produced and directed the series. We did 30 parts on history and distributed it nationally through the University of Indiana educational television system. So that kind of thing was what we did. We did a show called Nigh Noon, 11 to 12 o'clock every day, Nigh Noon, with host Beulah Hodge, who was the first woman on television in 1962-3. And it was a local show, much like what you see on television today, but uniquely local, serving Austin and San Antonio. Interviews, a little music, a lot of self-help kinds of things targeted to women, and a very thoughtful program. So that kind of thing.
And the funding, was it like it is today, where listeners, viewers were the main source of funding?
We did not have the membership plan the way we do now. The funding came largely from the University of Texas, from private foundations. So the University of Texas was the radio television center at UT was where we did the original, originated all the programming. Except in San Antonio, we borrowed facilities from Channel 4 and Channel 5, occasionally from Channel 12. And Channel 41, in fact, Emilio Nicolas was running it, and he would give us programs, cultural programs from Televisa. In Mexico City. And so we would play them largely musical extravaganzas. Might be classical, might be mariachi, might just be a typical kind of Mexican television program. We'd play them on KLRN in Spanish. So it was an eclectic set of programs in those days.
And so but I know y'all did broadcast from Cambridge Elementary to Alamo Heights. How did that work out?
Well,
how did y'all get there?
And we were borrowing this, using a facility that was really an office at San Antonio College from 62 until 64. I came from Austin to San Antonio in 64 to be the manager of the operation in San Antonio. And I had a little office with Gene Lang and one assistant at the Student Union building. And then we would go out and borrow studios if we needed something produced. For example, I did a series in 60. I'm telling you, I'm going to get to Cambridge. But we did a series at WOAI in 1965 and 66 called People 65. And then when the calendar turned over, it became People 66. But it was a primetime evening show, kind of a Johnny Carson extravaganza. I sat at a desk and had a couch, and guests would come on. We put Jim Cullum and the Happy Jazz Band on, and they would play a little bit, and I would interview Jim Sr., who was then alive. And we'd bring the mayor on, we'd bring the director of the zoo. We'd bring animals on. So that kind of thing we were doing in prime time.
Do tapes exist of this stuff?
Afraid not. It was all live. You know, we just did them live and they went off into the ether. And sadly, when we started thinking about celebrating our 50th anniversary, we went looking for that kind of thing and couldn't find it. But we needed our own studio. And so we had a lucky thing happen. KHOU in Houston had four old black and white 1960 version cameras that they had been using at the First Baptist Church once a week on Sunday. And they didn't need them anymore, so they gave us their cast-offs, and we had four cameras and a switcher and set up our first black-and-white studio in San Antonio at the old Alamo Heights Junior School High School. It had been the high school, then the junior school. They opened the new junior school up Broadway, and North New Braunfels, and that old high school building was vacant. So KLRN acquired it on a short-term dollar-a-year lease, and we built the studio there and moved in and started producing out of our own black-and-white facility in San Antonio. Did that through 68, and then moved to the Hemisphere with our first color facility at the Institute of Texan Cultures.
Yeah, that was quite an upgrade going from Cambridge to right in the middle of Hemisphere. And you became a major part of documenting and broadcasting all the major stars and political figures who came to Hemisphere.
We did put that on tape, but I don't think any of the tape exists anymore. Through the 6 months of Hemisphere, from April 68 to October 68, we did a daily, Monday through Friday, half hour called A Day at the Fair. And every day we would be on the air, in live and in color, with a studio audience up in that wonderful studio or out on the berm, on the grounds. Couldn't go far because we didn't have the kinds of portable gear you have now. We were tethered with great big old heavy black and white cameras. I remember interviewing Lyndon Johnson in 1963 and 4 after he was... Well, it would have been 1968 at the fair, out on the bridge in the in front of the Institute of Texan Cultures. I remember also having an acrobat out there who was bending rods over his head and tearing phone books. You know, we were just doing wonderful, fun things and interviewing the stars who came to Hemisphere, whether it was the President of the United States or... a Hollywood actor, television stars, and there was a parade of them coming through. So every day we had folks like that in.
Now you'll have this state-of-the-art facility on Broadway.
Well, and Joanne Winnick, who was the general manager there for 23 years, gets all the credit for that. She did an extraordinary job of growing, maturing, and evolving KLRN. What that move to 501 Broadway represented was a separation from Austin. It was 1994, I think, when we moved into that building. But there was that period leading up to the early 90s where it became very apparent that the two cities needed to have independent services.
Bill Mull is the president and CEO of KLRN, which is marking 50 years of broadcasting in San Antonio. Coming up, we're going to hear how KLRN is dealing for the possible cutoff in CPB federal funds. Stay tuned. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio's public TV station is celebrating its 50th birthday this week, and we're talking to Bill Mull, KLRN's president and CEO, about the local PBS station and its challenges.
We're on the air with 56 hours a week of children's educational programming. 56 hours a week. Commercial stations are required by license to do 3 hours. Well, the only thing that is commercial about those children's programs is when Sesame Street says, "This program is brought to you by the letter D." That's as commercial as we get. And it's a safe haven for children. Children don't get sold stuff, don't get talked down to. They watch it and are entertained, and they learn something. Our strategy for KLRN has been on top of that wonderful PBS service, children, news, Downton Abbey, Nova, nature. Where else do you get programs like that? You don't get them on cable. You know, even on the History Channel, and I don't knock it, but it's different, a different service. On the Discovery, you know what the number one program on Discovery is? It's called Pawn Stars. Pawn. I said it correctly. And you know what that is? It's a knockoff of the Antiques Roadshow on PBS. So even Discovery, which started out as a cable service to bring one kind of programming that would be somewhat like PBS, has moved on to this kind of reality-based stuff. That's fine and interesting, and it has an audience, but it isn't PBS. That's why we need this PBS service.
Well, in this political climate, there is a lot of talk about the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and some people who are running for office say they would like to do away with it, take it out of the budget, zero it out. How would that impact KLRN if that were to happen?
Well, we have to assume it will happen, and I think it is a serious threat. Right now, let me ask you a question. Do you know what your tax burden is for public television?
It's probably like a quarter a day or something.
Well, it's $1 a year. So I like to, usually when I give this little talk, I carry around a box of goobers. You know what goobers are? Those little chocolate-covered peanuts. You can buy a box of goobers for a dollar. Eat a goober and it's gone forever, but put a child in front of Sesame Street for 30 minutes and it's with her for life. So you can have for your dollar, you can have a box of goobers, and I love them, or you can have one full year of public television. It is 1/100 of 1% of the federal budget. So you could take it away, and it will have no difference in balancing the federal budget, but it will have a profound difference in what it means to the kind of service the American people deserve, are receiving now, and are entitled to from this independent television facility that PBS represents and that NPR represents. So what would it do for us? It's 13% of our budget. It's about $1 million, and we are assuming that we have to find a way to replace that. We're out right now in a campaign to fund the $1 million on the likelihood that we will lose that federal funding sometime over the next, could be the next few months, and certainly over the next few years.
And that's a decision that, you know, voters get to make when they go to the polls.
Well, it is. There's a difference of opinion in the Congress as to whether it should be funded or not. In the Senate at the moment, there is a huge amount of support for public media. In the House, there's a different view. And so as long as there is that difference in the House and the balance of political influence remains as it is, we have some possibility of the funding remaining. If the balance shifts one way or the other, it could either be sustained or not.
Well, some people are saying that they want to zero out the money that goes to public broadcasting, but they would allow public broadcasting to start airing commercials that would make up for that.
I think that's the worst possible scenario that I could imagine. We have underwriting now, and that's as close to having commercials as we get. Our license restricts us, as does NPR, to having credits or representations of underwriting that do not ask for the order or make comparisons. So we have a lot of wonderful supporters who simply put branding messages on the air and have an affinity for reaching our audience and getting the credit that that being associated with our programs gives them. But we don't want to go to be commercials. We don't want to interrupt the programming. That's the point of difference that public television represents. It's the point of difference in NPR. We don't interrupt the viewing. It's the point of difference during these recent political campaigns. You did not interrupt the programming for underwriting or for commercials. You got to see them unfettered. Nobody does that but public television.
You know, I guess I should address, just for the sake of clarity or full disclosure, that, yeah, I do appear on KLRN. You know, I do a show over there with you.
Our conversations program, and we think it's great.
And you're my boss on that, and so that should be acknowledged. And Texas Public Radio and KLRN, we're not really connected. We're sort of just soulmates of some sort.
Well, we're separately licensed entities to separate licensees. We are the Alamo Public Telecommunications Council and your Texas Public Radio. So we're independent licensees, and We do not co-mingle. We don't operate together. We collaborate periodically.
Yeah, we collaborate. But we try and help each other out to get programming on the air, because and you have been at KLRN trying to get more local content on the air.
Well, yeah, since you have, for the last 3 years, you've been our regular host on the Conversations programs Thursday nights at 8, and most of those have now been original programming over the last 3 years. 2008 was really tough. The economy hurt everyone and equally. It particularly hurt public media. And so our associates at KLRN in those days had to batten down the hatches and stop doing any local programming. In the last 3 years, we've ramped up on Conversations. We've created Friday nights at 8:30 with Rick, Texas Week with Rick Casey, our public affairs program, a signature influential program on the current issues of the day. I'm pleased to say that on October 4th, we'll start a new arts series. Every Thursday night at 8:30, coming out of Conversations, we'll have a program called Arts. Asia Cherovino, the CEO at the Playhouse, will be our local host, but it's a local national blend of content in art and culture from around the country. So we'll see a segment from Miami on the ballet or the San Francisco Opera, or a new opening of a theater at the Schermerhorn in Nashville, and we'll be able to contribute locally to following the developments at the Tobin Center. In October, we'll record the symphony again with the in preparation for the Brahms Festival that comes up in January. We'll show a preview of that in a one-hour special that'll be recorded in our studios in October. You know, that's good stuff.
Bill Mall is the president and CEO of KLRN-TV, San Antonio's PBS station. This week, KLRN celebrates 50 years of broadcasting. You've been listening to The Source on KSTX. Wayne Coble is the TPR program director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. I'm David Martin Davies. Check us out online at tpr.org. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.